The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, you're not going to the moon. We're just going to Israel. How are you doing this morning?
Boker Tov, Benji. Yeah, a lot to talk about today. I just wanted to pick up from some of the things we spoke about yesterday. You spoke about a kibbutz that was named after Jan Smuts, which I managed to find. Ramat Yochanan is the name of the kibbutz that we're talking about. It's in the Haifa area. Apparently is Israel's sixth richest kibbutz. And it has citrus fruit, lychees, avocados in the fields. It has a dairy farm. It has a large chicken breeding farm, but the main source of its wealth comes from a factory called Palram, which mainly manufactures plastic sheets for the building industry. Jan Smuts apparently was a great friend of Chaim Weizmann, famous for the Weizmann Institute. The kibbutz was named after him, founded in 1931, apparently. Interesting.
There you go. Okay, well, thank you for looking that up for us, Anthony. Much appreciated.
And unfortunately, now we're going to have to talk about
coronavirus
lockdown.
All right, yeah, let's do the Zionist coronavirus report. It's like every day now. So tell us what is going on with the most stringent lockdown yet.
I mean, unfortunately, as much as I really don't want to talk about this because we're all just so inundated with corona things, this is really the main news item of the day in Israel by far. It's going to be interesting for me to see from a distance eventually after the fact how history judges this period in Israel's existence, because this has really been a massive failure on the part of the Israeli government. Having been through the initial lockdown period and done so well, we've now gone into a situation where we're having to lock down in a more stringent fashion than the original lockdown was. And that's, I think, a real failure, because we've learned so much about the virus and so much about how we respond to it since then. And yet, for some reason, we haven't been able to put that into practice. And so the government has decided from tomorrow to go into a major lockdown. Whatever's been open until now pretty much being closed up. Shuls will be closed. Demonstrations will be limited, will be not allowed as far as I understand. Praying outside with up to 20 people, with the exception of the Yom Kippur services on Sunday night and Monday, where apparently the same rules that applied over Rosh Hashanah to shuls will also apply for Yom Kippur. But beyond that, only prayers outdoors now with up to 20 people in attendance. Businesses being closed down, whatever was previously open, pretty much being closed except for really essential services, supermarkets and medical facilities and things like that. So really, and also apparently closing down Ben Gurion Airport. That's one of the things that's been considered as a possibility for this lockdown period. 2 weeks is the initial period of the lockdown starting tomorrow. It's estimated that it's going to cost the economy something like $10 billion if the lockdown lasts for more than 3 weeks, which is a very good likelihood. So we're really heading into a very, very more serious, much more serious lockdown period. And unfortunately, as opposed to the initial lockdown back in March, now people have a much better idea of what's going on. And I think there's going to be a lot more resistance, because people are saying that we should be able somehow to control this while breathing, while allowing the economy to breathe, while allowing activities to continue. We need to have a certain discipline that goes around our daily activities, which allows us to continue to operate without having to go into this hermetic lockdown situation. So this is going to be a fascinating situation. The Knesset is due to vote on this lockdown later today, but it is expected that it will pass in the way that it has been recommended by the government. So we are moving to a very, very serious situation for Israel's economy and, of course, for the general psychological well-being of people living here.
Yeah, and especially lockdowns in small apartments in Israel, I think it's going to be tough for a lot of people, people with lots of kids. It is hard, and I can only hope that it returns to normal as soon as possible, because it's not good, not good at all.
Very serious.
Moving around to the region, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. has hinted that another normalization deal is possible within days. We've got the meter running. Actually, I wouldn't mind if Chai FM listeners can let us know who they think the next one is going to be. What do you think, Anthony? Who's next up?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about this. Kelly Kraft was the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations who let on that another Arab state, she specifically said another Arab state, could sign a peace deal with Israel within days. And of course, the United States, and when we listened to the speech by President Trump at the Abraham Accords ceremony, he hinted to the fact that there were something like 8 or 10 countries potentially lining up. And I don't know what that list involves. But of course, having seen the agreement signed between Israel and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, we do know that Saudi Arabia is definitely somewhere on the list. We also know that Sudan is on the list. Oman, Morocco is another country that has been spoken about. As far as the Saudi Arabian link is concerned, I think it's probably still too soon. I think that the Saudi government is eager just to see how things pan out. The King Fahd of Saudi Arabia did make very, very positive references to the Abraham Accords and to Saudi, to the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain in particular, who have signed agreements with Israel in his recent speech to the United Nations General Assembly. So he obviously is watching to see what happens and is very likely to be on the train of one of those countries that will sign up an agreement or at least cooperate with Israel more closely in the future. We've already seen that cooperation bear fruits where overfly rights have been granted to Israeli planes for the first time to overfly Saudi Arabia, not only to fly to the Emirates or to Bahrain, but also potentially to overfly traveling to the Far East. Sudan, we understand the Sudanese government representatives were in talks within the United Arab Emirates quite recently. The report suggested that they returned back home without any deal having been concluded on normalization of ties with Israel. But certainly Sudan is on the train and is one of those countries next. But, you know, by all means, why don't we have a little bit of a lottery? Let the listeners ring in or write their messages in with suggestions as to which might be the next country and when that might be. I mean, I'm expecting that it's not going to be within days because with Israel going into the Yom Kippur weekend now, very little is going to happen. And of course, that's closely followed by Sukkot afterwards, which I would imagine would probably not bear any fruits of any major agreements right now. But certainly after Sukkot, and assuming and hoping that the corona situation manages to stabilize or get stabilized in a certain fashion, that could certainly be on the cards, I would suggest.
Let us know what you think. Tell us what country you think is going to be next up on the Israel train, 34519 or 061-895-1019. I'd be interested to hear from you. Are you a Morocco fan? Are you maybe pushing for Sudan, maybe Oman, maybe you want to bet big on Saudi Arabia? I'd be interested to hear what you think. Anthony, moving on slightly, an Israeli professor at MIT has been awarded a prize for her work on artificial intelligence, becoming a bigger issue every day, artificial intelligence. What aspect has she been working on?
It really is. This is Professor Regina Barzilai. She is a graduate of Ben-Gurion University in Beersheba, and she's currently a professor at MIT in the United States. And she apparently will be presented with this award in February during the advancement of the Association for the Advancement of Artificial Intelligence, where they will have their meeting and they will present her with this award. It's $1 million. It's not something to be sneezed at. It's a very significant award indeed. But what's really more significant, perhaps, is just to understand for a little bit exactly what she's been doing in order to be able to win this award using artificial intelligence to do some very, very interesting things in the area of breast cancer. And she's developed an artificial intelligence model that apparently can detect breast cancer among women thanks to the quality of the machine learning. And the artificial intelligence can examine apparently hundreds of women using mammography results and predict that some of the white spots that the scan reveals could potentially develop into a tumor. And apparently this is considered to be really crucial because, of course, early detection in breast cancer is very, very important indeed. And apparently the prediction accuracy for 1 year ahead of her artificial intelligence model has been something like 70%, which obviously reduces over time. But that's not the only thing that she's been busy with. She's been busy with many, many other things indeed, including some sort of an artificial intelligence model to translate an ancient language. So she's this language called Ugaritic. I've never heard of it before, I have to tell you. And she's apparently used this model using Hebrew translation of some sort and more data from elsewhere in order to somehow translate this ancient language. Apparently it's something like 8,000 years old. So she's certainly doing some interesting things. And good on her. Well done to, for receiving that prize. Of course, you know, brings a lot of credit not only to Israel, but specifically to Ben-Gurion University. And of course, good for the ladies in the field as well. I'm very delighted for her and, of course, for all those women who will benefit from the work that she's done.
Yeah, absolutely nice to see some interesting stuff coming out there. Fascinating, fascinating work being done. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. And I guess we won't be chatting to you tomorrow because of Friday. So Shana Tova and a meaningful fast and a safe fast during this difficult time in Israel.
Thank you, Benji. What I'd like to do before we head out to the Yom Kippur weekend is just to apologize to you, to Howard, to the team at Chai FM, to any of the listeners out there if I've somehow managed to insult or offend anybody during the course of my presentations and my chats. We all have our own opinions, and of course my opinions are being expressed as a, you know, just as my opinions, and not to offend anybody in particular, but hopefully just to present the situation as it is. And I wish everybody Gmar Chatima Tova, a meaningful fast, and let's hope that the period ahead for all of us will be a much more positive and a good one.